Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Leadership Vision Podcast, our show helping you build positive team culture. Our consulting firm has spent 25 years investing in teams so that people are mentally engaged and emotionally healthy. Hello, everyone. My name is Nathan Freeberg, and our team is still on vacation. So rather than just going dark for a couple of weeks, we thought we would pre-record a couple of podcast episodes. So, you know, if you're on vacation, you have something to listen to. Now, last week, we shared with you our mid-year reflection, which was a series of questions helping you zoom in on how the first part of this year has gone, and then some other questions helping you to zoom out and look forward to really establish and create kind of the best possible end of the year that you can have. And so Brian, Linda, and myself decided that we would actually do the same thing. And so this podcast episode today is going to be a little bit of our reflection just on these same questions. Not everyone, but we've kind of handpicked a few to give you maybe an example of how we're doing it. And also just a little bit of insight into what Leadership Vision is working on right now as we look into the first half of this year and then look forward to the second half. So enjoy. Brian, Linda, how's vacation going?
It's great. We've been paddleboarding and
fishing
and all kinds of fun and all kinds of fun
family
stuff.
Dinners.
Yeah, we went to the mountain and to the beach and to a pool and just had so much fun. It's been the best vacation ever. At least I hope so, since we're coming to you live from the future. Just kidding. I'm really curious and interested to chat with both of you today about this mid-year reflection. We've done this the past couple of years, and just as we sort of reflect on how the first 6 months has gone, and then how the next six, or what we're looking forward to, and how we hope the next six is going to go. And I say I'm interested about this because I think this has been this year, 2023, or leading up to 2023, has been the most intentional we have been as a team for quite a while in terms of thinking into goals, thinking into like how we are operating as a company, as a whole, as individuals, as teammates. And so I'm wondering, before we jump into some of the kind of specific reflections that we've had, do either or both of you have any just, you know, high level statements or thoughts on kind of the year and where we're at sitting here almost smack dab in the middle of 2023?
Well, I just have something general, just in general. What I like about this process is that it reinforces the positive practice of pausing and taking reflection, and that process of reflecting, I think, just helps people understand from a different perspective how they've arrived where they are, especially when you discuss it. Even in this format with the three of us, we're all kind of in the same place with the company. So to have us ask these questions for ourselves, I'm also curious to see how each of our individual reflective processes is going to influence how the conversation actually goes, because we all have a different perspective. So to pause and to reflect, that to me is always important, especially when you can do it with people who know you, who love each other, and who are invested in something together. I think it's extremely beneficial.
And when I think of 2023, I remember at the beginning of the pandemic when there were some people that were saying, you know, well, 2023 is when, you know, we'll get back to normal. And I thought that was like forever. And now it's here. And so it was almost like rewinding the tape and beginning to recount what has happened. How did we arrive where we are today? And, you know, just really glad that we're all still together. So,
yeah, absolutely. Well, let's jump into this. And I should also add that, you know, this can be done really anytime you want to. There's a reason there's like a halftime in games or timeouts or pauses for reflection, is to do just this. Like, how are we doing? You know, how is this first chunk of time or energy or effort going? And then do we need to adjust and whatever as we move forward? And to your point, Brian, I think all of us could probably do that a lot more often in a lot of different areas so that we don't maybe end up in places that we don't want to be. We didn't really talk about an order. Do you want me to call on one of you or surprise you? Does somebody want to volunteer to be the first one to reflect on a zooming in about what's gone well with this first half of the year? What are you curious about with the first half of the year? What hasn't gone well?
Well, Nathan, earlier today, you and I were texting that we thought Linda should go first. So if
that's right,
if that idea that you had, I'll go with that. If you
okay,
think Linda
I didn't.
Go first.
I didn't know if we wanted to both shove her under the bus, but I guess there you go, Linda. How's the tread under there?
Yep. Well, as the president, I'm going to call on Brian.
Oh, I like this. I like this passing of the baton. And I should, by the way, I should add that there are there are six questions about like how it's been. And we're not going to talk about them all here, but there's a link to the full list in the description. So, Brian, I think that means that you've been called to go first.
Yeah, I hear that.
And if my notes and your notes are lined up, what have you been surprised by in the first half of the year?
What have I been surprised by? There are a couple things that truly stand out. When I read the question, they were immediately triggered. And the first one is coaching. I am really surprised by the coaching work that we were doing. As you know, years ago, we didn't do coaching at all. We refused to. And now it takes up the lion's share of the work that we are doing with our clients. But what surprises me is how open and vulnerable people are. That just surprises me. I'll end a coaching session, be doing my debrief, and that continues to surprise me is the willingness for people to truly respond to questions in an authentic way. That surprises me. And the result of that is another answer to this question is how emotionally connected I'm feeling to the people that we're working with. And I think that there's some connection there. I haven't reflected on it a lot, but I'm finding myself more emotional with our clients, more emotionally connected, and being more concerned about that overarching, well, why are we doing this? And why are we so committed to this client or that client? That to me has also been a surprise. And that's a personal one. I just didn't expect that. And as I reflect on the years previous, I've not been this emotionally connected to the people. Even yesterday, we're sitting in an event and Linda's talking. I'm sitting off the side and I'm watching the people and I'm thinking just how much we know them and then how much I care. And the last thing, this one's more professional. The third surprise I've had is the impact of sustained change. As I was reflecting on this question and reflecting on the work that we're doing, so I know that there's a lot of times that Linda leads us by asking us about the work we're doing. And the impact of sustained change is a theme with many of our clients. It's not just the pandemic type of change. It's organizational change. It's landscape within the organizational change. It's mergers. It's acquisitions. It's team changes and how long people are enduring change and the effect that that's having on people. It's just a topic of conversation. So coaching is the first thing that has been a great and pleasant surprise for me. My emotional connection to the people that we're working with, that's been a surprise. And lastly, the impact of sustained change.
Thank you for sharing that. Can I ask a follow-up question?
Absolutely.
Yes. So the surprisingness of this, of the coaching, your reaction to that, do you think that is more of a change in yourself or a change in other people out there? And what I mean by that is the resistance to doing coaching for all these years, was it, I know that people just kept asking and asking for like, okay, fine, reluctantly do it. So do you think this, like this emotional connection, is that have more to do with like the people that we're working with or with you as a person, maybe being open and receptive to this?
Yes. It is both of those. It is okay. It's the one and the other.
Yes, and.
I believe that people are needing to talk on a much different level about their well-being. I have been thinking that for a while and I've been doing some research on that as well. There's a lot there to be said. But to the other side, in the other hand, as you know, Nathan, been working with a performance and mindfulness coach for a while, and that emotional unfolding of who I am, that is definitely having an impact on the work that we are doing, on my perspective, my openness, my willingness, my ability to be present with what someone's talking about and to come alongside of them there. That has been a tremendous change for me.
It's cool. Linda, do you see that in him?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's different.
Yeah.
He's different. He's way more present. And it's lovely to see our clients respond.
Yeah.
And I can tell it in his laughter and I can tell it just when he's with these people, I'm like, he makes them feel like a million bucks and he's enjoying himself. Like, that's amazing.
And when you are the person having to, because a lot of these leaders and people that you're working with, they don't have a place to do that, right? Like they're always the one having to like feed into other people,
right,
and kind of make other people feel like a million bucks. So I'm sure this is a very valuable service that you're providing for them. So Linda, do you want to go next?
I'd love to.
Okay. And your question is, what stood out to you, Linda, of all the experiences in the last 6 months? What stood out to you?
Well, when I grabbed this question, I really zoomed in. And maybe this would be helpful to some of the listeners that might be actually doing this process of reflection. But when I zoom in to how am I going to answer this question from my body, from my perspective, from what it was like, what stood out to me as a person, as a professional. And when I think back to 6 months ago, I was writhing in back pain. And I remember thinking, how in the world am I going to be able to sit, to be present? What is this going to mean? I was going to all different kinds of appointments to figure some things out, doing all kinds of different exercises. And what I realized is, you know, how suffering levels the playing field in so many different ways and causes us to almost have a reframe in how we're going to show up for each other. And oftentimes through the suffering in my life, it's like, well, I'm going to still turn on the light and and do my thing with an awareness of, oh, maybe in my suffering, I'm also sensitive and aware of those that have struggles around us. And so the first thing that stood out to me is that just how resilient humans are. And what stood out to me in that is that in the middle of pain and suffering, there was still life and light that we were seeing. And the gift of the last 6 months in particular has been able to hold both the hard things and the really good things. And not say like, oh, eventually when, you know, when my back is healed, I'll be fine. Then I can start to do this. Like, how do I, in points of suffering, also live in a different way? And the reason I say it that way is then I don't just have to say, oh, this person's always mad, or this, you know, this egregious situation that this person is in, I can't believe it. I can say, well, where, you know, what's the other side, and how do you hold some of the tensions? In summary, my suffering and ability to hold and have a bittersweet hold on life gave me a chance to see others in their bittersweet states as well. The other thing that stood out to me was a team that we worked with that were a bunch of players. They are a bunch of players. We're still working with them. And it's so fun to partner with Brian as we facilitate, because we always pay attention to kind of what game we're in. Brian is, you know, we both are athletes. He's way more athletic than me, but anyway. But I still have the athletic mindset. So it's like, what game are we in? What game are we going to play? And there was a session that we led with this team of players, and we just opened up the fire hose on them of who we are, and turned up some of the confidence and some of the banter, and almost surprised this team with maybe how sharp we could be, but how tender we could be, and that moment to walk away and say, you know, like, Brian, like, I love doing this work with you. So that continues to stand out to me, that we have been working together for so long and married and all the other things. And just to be able to enjoy and share moments like that with Brian is just, it's incredible.
Yeah.
So that was another thing that stood out to me. The third thing that stands out to me from this year, very memorable experience, is being immersed in a culture in an actual building. So none of the meetings were on video that week. None of everything was in person. And the way that Brian and I were able to navigate over a course of a whole full week, I started to realize there is something about our capacity to go to different places and meet with one at a time, three at a time, 10 at a time, 50 at a time. And that kind of ability to show our agility and our reach was, once again, really fun.
Yeah.
So those are some of the things that stood out to me.
That's so cool. It's fun to hear new things, like things that are standing out that are new, things that are reinterpreted from kind of pre-pandemic times, during pandemic, post-pandemic times. And I'm really glad that the two of you still enjoy working together. That's something that... I don't know.
Does it always seem that way?
It doesn't, but it's healthy. I think it's, you know, it is, it is what it is. So thank you.
Yeah.
My question, what are you wondering about, revolves entirely around our online community. And for those of you who don't know, we, into 2022, I really was pushing Brian and Linda on, I think we need to create a community, an online community for leaders of, you know, all levels to kind of process things, to ask questions. We have so much experience, so many years of doing this stuff with people in real life, as Linda just mentioned. I think this would be a really cool opportunity for us to take this, you know, pretty decent size online, you know, community from all our different blog and podcasts and social media and just people we know are visiting our website, put them into a space where they can actually ask us questions in real time. And so we have this whole thing created and it hasn't taken off the way that I thought it would. And so what am I wondering about is kind of three sort of things in this. One, was I totally off? Was I completely like misread the room, so to speak, and our people don't want this? Number two, I'm wondering about, are we just doing it wrong? Like, are we implementing this somehow in the wrong way? Do people not know about it? Is it just more of a marketing issue? But I think what it is the third thing is, I think it's just more work and more time than I had really anticipated. And so what I'm kind of wondering about is how can we still create this community? Because I don't think it's like, I don't think I was totally misreading the room. How can we create this in a way that's sustainable for us, but also really adds that value that I think it can to the people who are on the other end of it? I'm a part of a couple different these online communities for very, very different topics and different things. One of them is kind of running and athletic stuff. Another one is parenting and all that goes along with that. And even as I think about my own interaction, those communities that are much, much larger, you know, I'm not on there every day posting stuff, responding to stuff, doing whatever it is. And so maybe until like a critical mass gets built. So anyone listening to this, I would love, you know, some feedback on, you know, your thoughts about this
he
too.
He means it.
I do mean it. So any quick thoughts on that, Brian or Linda, before we move on to looking ahead?
Well, I think it's so easy to wonder about the things that are going well. I appreciate your willingness to say, okay, well, what is it? I'm wondering what it is. And as we venture into new places, sometimes it's hard to put our finger on what exactly is going on.
Yeah.
I think some of the, maybe one observation that I'm making with that example, Nathan, is I believe that sometimes we're planting seeds and sometimes we're transplanting. Yeah. Some of the stuff that we do is innovative. It's creative and it's new, but it's actually transplanting a service or an option or something that we've experimented with before. It's a little bit more mature and it takes off quicker than some of our other ideas that are merely, that are truly seed planting. Uh-huh. And, you know, I think that there's this idea that the planting of a seed, that there's no fast growth formula that will take that and grow it into something fruitful in a couple of months. I think that we just get caught, and I'm not sure if there may be some listeners out there where sometimes we get caught confusing the two. Often we're surprised by how quickly something jumps up and just kind of has its own run in our business. That's a transplanted idea.
Sure.
And we already have a body of knowledge around it. We already have an expertise. We may even have an audience built in that we didn't know we had before. Fast growth comes from transplanting. However, I think maybe this what we've done this year, and I can speak with some authority because I've been in the middle of it. we planted seeds specifically every month. And if we look at the last 6 months, I think we can identify we planted these seeds in January, these seeds in February. Mm-hmm. And that kind of gardening, it's not my style. I've never enjoyed this whole idea of gardening. So,
yeah.
So there's truth to that. But I think that metaphor might be applicable to what it is that we're doing.
We'll be right back.
At Leadership Vision Consulting, we have spent 23 years helping individuals explore the depth and dimension of their personal strengths and have helped hundreds of teams build positive culture. We're excited to now announce our new online membership platform that brings together the resources, community, and motivation that you need to grow your influence and build a positive team culture. Through our courses, workshops, live Q&A sessions, and more, you'll gain the skills and confidence you need to lead effectively. And with our supportive community of like-valued leaders, you'll never feel like you're doing it alone. Visit leadershipvisionconsulting.com/community to learn more. And, you know, what I have to remind myself about often is, you know, I want to stick with the gardening metaphor. The planting, the gardening I've done before has always been very long term. I mean, when I kind of took over our website, content marketing stuff 10, 11 years ago, there was nothing and there was no expectations. Mm. And there was, you know, after a couple of years, be like, oh, this has got some traction. A few more years. Whoa, this is really, you know, this has really got something here. So then to start something with that base, I think my sort of expectation was just, oh, is this going to go and just like jump? Mm-hmm. And it didn't. And so what I'm wondering about is what's, you know, why is that? Should I have a different mindset? And I think the answer is yes, I should.
Nathan, I think that there are some things that we do where we are truly recognizing we're planting the vineyard.
Right.
And that takes years before you ever harvest
20.
That first edition that's going to go in the bottle. And sometimes the dream of the full-fledged winery, you know, is something that really captures our attention, but the process is much more tedious.
Isn't it hard to be patient? Like, it's so hard when you can see something and to have this patience of, okay, just got a baby steps. When, you know the joke, you know, what's the best way to eat an elephant? One bite at a time. It's like anytime you're trying to do something, just go with me. It's an ancient proverb.
Okay, got it.
Anytime you're trying to do like something big and audacious, you just
add ketchup.
These little bites and these little, anyway, I think I've lost you. So let's move on.
It's hard.
Can I go first on this looking forward? Because I think that, at least yours, Linda, kind of ties into this. So what does success look like for you? Define your personal and professional vision of success as it will serve as a compass to guide your actions and decisions moving forward. So when I thought about, you know, what does success look like in the second half of the year? There's so many different markers I could put in the ground. Success means, you know, X number of people in the community. Success means this, you know, number of podcasts or views or whatever, but I can't control any of that, right? Like, I can't say, oh, we're going to have, you know, 10,000 people in our community, because I can't control that. I can work really hard to it. So what does success look like? I think for me, and this is true of this professional thing I'm about to say and, you know, personal stuff, is like, well, what can I control? And so one thing that we're revamping is our podcast, right? Mm-hmm. Which we're not going to get into here, but we have discussed at length for a while about how can we bring on guests, clients, partners, all these other experts that can... we can have a dialogue, and then our listeners and us can learn from this person as we are exchanging ideas with them. So for me, success looks like publishing 3 podcast episodes in the next part of the year here with these guests that kind of line up into the new format that we're looking for. And what really excites me about that is, one, it's a challenge. It's something we haven't done before. It's a challenge of having 4 people with one of those people pretty much probably going to be remote somewhere in the world. And so how do you, you know, host this different format? How do you keep it relevant? How do you keep it concise? How do you keep it entertaining? How do you keep it, you know, all these things, you know, adding value to people.
Yeah.
It excites me about that because it's a new challenge. It's something that we haven't done before. It's a way to get feedback. And this idea of putting this number 3 on it, which maybe we you know, do that in September. And it's like, oh, maybe I should do six, maybe I should 10. I'm excited to learn from experts, learn from people that we've partnered with, and also infuse like our own knowledge and wisdom and kind of bring ideas together and say, well, what new thing might emerge from that? So what do you guys think of that?
I love it.
Okay, good.
Make it so.
Well,
done.
I love it too. And Nathan, what I appreciate about you is that you're always expanding. Expanding your thinking, expanding your reach, trying new things. And so this was you know, obviously there's many people out there doing wonderful podcasts where they're hosting.
Yeah, this isn't a new idea.
So no, but it's a different approach. And
for
we'll have some new things to learn and think about as a result of it. So,
and what's exciting for me to think about is like you can go to so many other podcasts and get the quote unquote big names, right? The published authors, the Seth Godins, the famous kind of leadership people. But there are thousands of other, you know, quote unquote no name leaders out there doing just as interesting on the ground work that we get to work with on a regular basis. And so from hearing from, you know, so and such CEO of this company and the HR executive at this place about like what they're doing, that you won't recognize the name, but like the lessons that they'll be able to share and impart, you know, as we kind of talk about it all in the environment of like Leadership Vision, is just, I don't know, I'm excited to learn and know and grow right along everyone else too. So
that excites me as well, because I was just writing something this morning and it was about how we all have an expertise and we are all thought leaders in some way or another. You know, then there's this what if question, like just imagine a place where you have people that are gathered together and we give people a chance to talk about their expertise and their thought leadership, give them the chance to be in the spotlight, because not everybody has the title, not everybody has the publication, not everybody even has the opportunity or the relationships. But what people do have is they have their own lived experience from their own unique perspective. And that is an expertise that others really need to hear. And I have a pretty strong conviction on that, because we talk to people every week that have these two things. They have a thought leadership and they have an expertise that comes from grounded lived experience that they've somehow integrated into who they are as a person.
Mm-hmm. I like that. Linda, do you want to go next? What's your question on who would you like to partner with?
Yes, because it does.
Let's see if we make the list. Let's listen really closely to see if we're on this list.
Please, Amy, please. Okay,
who do you want to work with?
Nathan.
Linda.
Greenberg.
And Brian.
I'm Brian Schubert.
Yes.
I'm employed.
That's right. She could fire both of us tomorrow.
Yeah, she can. This is like a...
Just kidding.
No, we're good. We're good. When I was wrestling with this question, and not just like, oh, who would you want to partner with? And then let's make a list of who we want on the podcast. Right. I didn't do it that way necessarily. It was almost like I pushed back from my desk and began to look around my world, my neighborhood, and say, who is it that I want to partner with, collaborate with, work with, think alongside. And I think I'm continually drawn to people who are leaders that are passionate about developing and investing in their people.
I like that.
And that comes with a ton of diversity. We have met so many movers and shakers who come from so many different perspectives, but the one thread that they have in common is they're willing to invest in their people. And so I'm always listening to a leader speak about the value of their people. They don't call them capital, or they don't call, you know, it's not the human capital. And so as I look around, I want to continue to find ways to collaborate and partner with those people that are saying, like, what else can we do to invest in our people? So the question, who do I want to partner with? I also have challenged myself to read in a different way. And so I've recently picked up a book from a friend of ours. We knew from back in our cooperative workspace, back in the day, maybe it was 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And he wrote a book about breakout valuation. And because I knew him, I just wanted to read his words and then eventually, you know, reach out to him. So Patrick Donahue, I'm coming for you sometime. And so then that partnership question was, who are the people that I'm reading? Hmm. I'm reading their words and somehow I feel like I'm actually taking those words and doing something with it. And so I'm wondering, you know, can I get a little bit more bold in the second half of the year with reaching out to authors and people that have shaped my worldview, my business view, my mental health and well-being view. So I know that's really general, and I, you know, other than Patrick, I haven't name dropped anyone else, but it reminded me that partners don't always have to be necessarily live people, but they can be through the venue of reading and continuing to add to who you are as a leader, how you show up, and how you continue to grow your perspective.
Brian, what will make for a meaningful second half of the year for you? That's your question.
What will make a meaningful second half of the year? Saw the question, had a bunch of thoughts that came to my mind right away. And the first one is this. This one was pretty easy for me. Getting the help we need right now. That comes from the work that we did 6-7 months ago when we rewrote the business plan for the company, not only to reflect Linda's leadership, but also to reflect what we were each doing as individuals within the company. And part of that outline was, you know, like some pretty strong statements about asking for help. And I think Linda just intuited this by saying, you know, reaching out to people, being influenced by authors, writers, and creative thinkers. There are many, many ways for us to get help. But in stating that 6 months ago when we were writing, then to look at where we're at now, it's a different kind of help. And I feel personally, I won't speak for, you know, you, Nathan, or Linda, I feel pretty strongly, I did not know what kind of help I needed in January. I just knew I need help. And right now it's becoming much more clear the very specific types of help we need. Some things remain the same, some things are new, but that'll be meaningful for me is if for myself, I am asking for the right help for the three of us to be doing the same thing. The second thing that would make the second half of the year meaningful is to continue to see Linda's shaping influence on not only the direction that the company is headed, but how we are engaging with each other and how we are engaging our clients. There are so many things that are behind the scenes that people never ever see that are the direct products of Linda's influence, and like how we meet, when we meet, the things that we're working on, the things that we're thinking on, the yeses she says yes to, the no she says no to. No one sees it. But you know, there's just this strong undercurrent. And now this, like, what would be meaningful in the second half of the year is that people begin to now recognize clearly Linda's influence. I met a guy this morning, not intentionally, by accident, at the club. I finished teaching my cycling class and he walked in, and he's a person that's hired us before. And we just had like this really interesting connection. And the second question he asked me was, how's Linda's influence on the direction of the company? And that to me is just, it just demonstrates who this guy is, that he is aware of it. He's one of the first people that we told. And so it's just interesting to know that people are mindful of that. And so I'm looking forward to people seeing more of that influence. And third, I just feel what would be meaningful for the second half of the year, that the three of us would be dreaming bigger. Nathan, I think that's like you're tapping into it. If you could see what Nathan just did, there's a way that Nathan thinks on the podcast where he like just leaned back, he has his head in his hand, and he like snapped to attention when I said that. Dreaming bigger. Linda's rubbing her face. I know why you two are laughing. I don't even have to say why. You're right. I don't. I believe that a bold company vision begins with a free and bold personal vision. Uh-huh. And Linda kind of hinted at it, you know, of, you know, being bold or courageous in the asks. And that really reflects this third point, is there are days where I am like emotionally concerned that we are stewarding our talent in an authentic and attentive way. And there are times where that just eats away at me, where I feel that, you know, we may be missing something, or that we just, we have this talent base, and I just ask myself, how are we stewarding it? And are we dreaming big enough, or clear enough, or specific enough? And that would be meaningful for me, is if in the second half of the year, we not only are dreaming and having bolder visions, but we're actually pursuing them, and seeing them come to life. Whether it's slow growth, fast growth in the vision, I guess it doesn't matter. We've already talked about that, but that to me is, that'd be very, very meaningful, is if we began to really pay attention to and attend to bigger, bolder dreams and visions. I think Linda's going to say something.
I happen to say something, and maybe I have a question in there as well, because when I think of, the three of us, I don't worry that we can,
we're not dreaming big enough. Yeah.
That we're not dreaming big enough, but I do know the times when, you know, when other people dream really big, that's great, but who are making those dreams a reality? And so, so maybe it's about, is it about living our dream? Can we live a big enough dream in the second half? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know if I'd say it that way. Is that oftentimes my bold and powerful personal vision never gets off the desk because of all my F words in my life, fear, frustration, and failure. And so those things are like that inner critic, that voice of my self-criticism and the baggage that I carry. It comes out in my fear, my frustrations, and my sense of failure. So that part is all personal. Things that I think puts a cap on my freedom to live into a big, bold vision.
That's why we need each other. All of us, right?
We almost need a podcast called Tips for Overcoming Fear of Failure as a Leader.
I like that.
Did you read that off of a podcast list? A podcast topic
coming
list.
This fall.
Coming, or the summer. yeah. No, that is interesting, isn't it, Brian? Because, and Linda, because when we think about how many of us have these big, bold dreams that we're just too afraid to do, or we think, you know, I don't have enough time. I don't have enough money. Who am I to do this? And I think sometimes it takes, you know, it's taking a swing at something. Before we started recording, we were talking about the TV show, The Bear. And if you haven't seen the first season yet, I don't know, you missed out. But in the second season, he's trying to open restaurant that is just this ridiculous, you know, big, bold vision. And when they go to ask the uncle for more money, because they realize this is going to cost way more than they thought, he's basically like, I'm going all in on this. And if it fails, it fails. But I gotta do this. And I don't think you're suggesting that we leverage our family's future for these big, bold visions. But like, let's not be afraid of failing. Let's not be afraid of past whatevers. In whatever it is. Now, I'm not just talking leadership vision, but, and so to have the courage and to have the patience, I think, and the tenacity, going back to like, you know, how, you know, the whole growing metaphor and analogy of like, it might take a lot longer, and, you know, perhaps success looks different if you have a longer viewpoint on it. I was going to try to avoid using the metaphor of the bamboo, but I feel like it's relevant here. Which, if you don't know that, I think, doesn't bamboo take like 7 or 8 years before you really see much of anything above the soil? But then like the next year it grows like 20 feet tall or something insane like that. So, Brian Lennon, any final thoughts here today before we, or as we wrap this up?
My final thoughts are, it's one thing to do this inventory for yourself and to ask yourself these questions, either journaling about it or thinking about it on a walk or run or something like that. But I think there is great value in wrestling with some of these questions together, like the three of us did, because then we're hearing perspectives and then we're hearing reminders of how we can help each other, where new ideas can bubble up, when I can hear the perspectives of my teammates and say, oh, that's where they're, I wasn't thinking about those things, but what does it look like to really step into a team as a result of asking these questions? Not what do I need, individualistic, but what is going to be best for the larger whole? So I encourage you to do this with a teammate, a friend, a loved one, a partner, whatever.
Thank you for listening to the Leadership Vision Podcast, sharing our expertise in the discovery, practice, and implementation of a strengths-based approach to people, teams, and culture. For more resources about developing your strengths, the strengths of your team, or the strengths of your entire organization, click the link in the show notes or visit us on the web at leadershipvisionconsulting.com. And we really do hope that you take some time and reflect on these questions, both past, present, and future. And we would just love to hear what sort of, you know, your own self-reflection or any kind of valuable insights that you have gained to set some clear intentions for the future. And so you can send me an email, Nathan@leadershipvisionconsulting.com, with those reflections, or you can leave a comment or reply in the accompanying blog post or on social media or wherever you want that to be. I'm Nathan Freeberg.
I'm Linda Shubring.
And I'm Brian Shubring.
And on behalf of our entire team, thanks for listening.